I think you all know that I'm a storyteller. This image that Jesus uses in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the salt of the earth," that image catches my attention. There was a well-known collector of oral folk tales in the southern Appalachians named Richard Chase. He was active in the early and mid 20th century. Here's a short version of a story which he collected from a schoolgirl in Wise, Virginia, way down in the mountains in 1945. Now this story is a once upon a time story, so don't try to connect it up with geography or history as you know them, okay? Once upon a time, there was an old king. He had three daughters. The oldest two daughters were pretty enough. Oh, maybe they were a little bit flashy, but they were pretty enough. And they were being courted by two noblemen in the king's country. The youngest daughter, now she was a real beauty. She was quiet, didn't say a whole lot. Tell the truth, the king loved her best. One day the king said to the girls, "I've got to go into town today. Is there anything I can get you? What would you like?" Well, they wanted dresses. The oldest one wanted a red one, and the middle girl wanted a green dress, and the youngest daughter just wanted a white dress. The king went into town and he got the dresses, and on his way back, he passed a bush that was just bursting with gorgeous roses. And he picked some roses and brought them back. He called his oldest daughter before him and said, "Daughter, how much do you love me?" And she said, "Oh, Daddy, I love you more than life itself." Well, the king liked that. And he gave her the red dress and pinned a bunch of roses on it. And basically the same thing happened with the middle daughter. "Daughter, how much do you love me?" "Oh, I love you more than words can say." And he gave the daughter the green dress and pinned a bunch of roses on it. He called the youngest daughter before him and he said, "Now, daughter, how much do you love me?" "I love you like meat loves salt." That was kind of surprising. "Well, daughter, that's not much of an answer. Let's try again. How much do you love me?" "I love you like meat loves salt. I love you as much as my duty will allow me." Well, the king was angry, and he locked his youngest daughter away in a high tower. Pretty soon after that, the two oldest daughters married the two noblemen who were courting them. The youngest daughter was rescued from her tower by the Duke of England, who took her across the ocean back to his country and married her. Soon after this, the king retired, and he divided his country between his two eldest daughters and their husbands. Then he went to live with them. Turn about 6 months at a time was his plan. Didn't go out too well. First thing you know, they fired all his servants. Then they cut down on the number of their servants that were assigned to take care of him. And finally, they put him to sleeping in the stable. The old king realized they didn't really want him around anymore. And he wandered off by himself and twisted a crown out of honeysuckle vines. Well, the noblemen who had married the two elder daughters began to make war on the Duke of England. The Duke came across the ocean with his army, and the king's youngest daughter came with him. The Duke defeated the two husbands of the two older daughters, beat their army, conquered them. And then one day this Duke was out with his wife walking through the countryside, And they came across the old king, ragged and alone, wearing his crown of honeysuckle vines. He didn't know his youngest daughter when he saw her. They took him back across the ocean to the Duke's country, and they treated him real well as he deserved, but he still didn't know his favorite daughter. One day the daughter said to the cook, "Don't put any salt in the meat tonight." Cook said, "It'll taste terrible." Daughter said, "Do what I say and you'll see what happens." Well, supper time came and the old king said, "This meat doesn't taste right." The daughter didn't say a word, but she brought a dish of salt and stood by him. He looked at the salt and he looked at his daughter and he remembered, like meat loves salt. He knew her and he realized what had happened. He got his mind back. They sent back across the water to the old king's castle. And there in that old castle was the white dress he had bought for his daughter so many years ago. And on that dress were pinned the roses he had picked, and they were still just as fresh as if they had been picked just that hour. Well, now I doubt that this story was intended as a commentary on Jesus' words, "You are the salt of the earth." But folk tales like this have survived for generations and sometimes for centuries in oral traditions because they frequently bear witness to deep truths about human life. This is why they have survived. There are at least two truths in this story of the king and his daughters. Indeed, the story does illustrate two important truths which we find in today's scripture lessons. First, salt is necessary for the meat to taste good. Now that's pretty obvious. Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth. You are the ones who have caught a glimpse of God's rule here and now. You are the ones who have begun to hear and catch glimpses of a new kind of life. A life which is not defined by military power or social status or even by the power of money. You are the ones who are beginning to see that God desires a new sort of world, just as the prophets of old said. You must hold to this vision, because without this vision in the world, life becomes stale, flat, and unprofitable. When the salt is present, all kinds of new possibilities for new life opens up. All kinds of possibilities for God's kind of life. This world must have salt for God's kind of world to come into being. As I said, this is a fairly obvious meaning. But there's another meaning in this story as well. There are those two older daughters. We'd like to forget them probably, but they bring us a warning. And indeed, in the full story, remember I told you I only gave you a short version. In the full story, the two older daughters come to a very bad ending. We won't go into that. At the start of the story, you recall, the two older daughters said all the right words to the old king. "I love you more than life itself. I love you more than words can say." Nothing wrong with that. These answers sound pretty good. But the daughters did not sound that way once they had the power, once the king had passed on his power to them and their husbands. When they have the power, their respect for their father vanishes. He's stripped of the honors he deserves, and he's finally thrown out of their lives altogether. These daughters say the right words, but their lives do not match their promises. Prophet Isaiah saw the same situation of words not matching up to deeds in his time, five or six centuries before Jesus. The words, the verses we read were probably addressed to exiles who had returned from Babylon and were trying to reestablish their life around Jerusalem as a nation. Oh, they had put in place all the religious forms. They were keeping the Sabbath day. They were observing the required fasts. But at the same time, their leaders were oppressing their workers. They were cheating one another in business. They were quarreling. They were fighting. They were ignoring the needs of the poor. They were not seeking the good of the whole nation. Their religious formalities looked good, but their way of living did not match their words of piety. And Isaiah warned that God was much more concerned with how they were living than with the public shows of religion they were putting on. Jesus picks up this exact same theme more than once. How you live is what matters, he told his disciples. Matthew includes this warning in the Sermon on the Mount. The law of Moses is good, Jesus says. God's intention is that the deepest meaning of the law of Moses be fulfilled fully. And the deepest meaning of the law concerns how you live, how you relate to others. This is righteousness. Your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious scholars, the religious leaders. Be clear on this. Jesus is not saying that you must observe the outward forms of religion better than the Pharisees. What Jesus is saying is that your lives must be based on right relationships with God and right relationships with other people. First and last, righteousness is about relationships, about what you do in your dealings with others. God cares about this much more than about the outward forms of religion. The whole purpose of God's law is to guide you in your life with others, in your family affairs, in your dealings with your neighbor, in your dealings with the poor and the stranger among you. When you deal with each other according to the kindness and compassion God has shown you, then you are doing righteousness. And that's what God wants. In our story, salt not only opens the old king's eyes to who he is and who his youngest daughter is, it also opens his eyes to recognize the difference between beautiful words and lives that are lived in accordance with promises of goodness. With the salt, the old king can recognize the difference between true and salt, true and false words, true and false loyalty. Well, our need, of course, is to distinguish between true and false conceptions of what it means to follow Jesus. And our story of the old king reflects the words of the prophets and the words of Jesus. It's not the words that we speak that matter most. It's not the outward show of religion that matters most. It's how we do our righteousness that matters. What Jesus cares about is how we live in relation to other people, particularly the stranger and those in need. This is the purpose for which God gave the law. Jesus did not come to do away with the law. He calls us to fulfill every bit of its deepest purpose. Let us speak words when we need to. But above all, let us live so that we will be the life-giving salt and light the world around us so desperately needs this week. Amen and amen.